February the 24th, 2009, from the House of Representatives. Message number 402, Joint Conference Committee Report not adopted. Mr. President, Senate file number 53, Property Tax Deferral Program. The House failed to adopt the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 6, noes 52, excused 2. The House requests the Senate appoint a new conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House. February the 24th, 2009, from the House of Representatives. Message number 398, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bill listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 82, Weed and Pest Districts Bidding. Ayes 46, noes 12, excused 2. February the 24th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, message number 400, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 207, Internet Hunting. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. February the 24th, 2004, from the House of Representatives. Message number 401, concurrence failed. House Bill 226, State Lands Grazing Leases. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 1, noes 56, excused 2, conflict 1. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. February the 24th, 2009, from the House of Representatives. Message number 396, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 2, Insurance Financial Reporting Requirements. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 397, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file number 45, Improvement and Service District Directors. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 49, noes 9, excused 2. And Senate File 105, Weed and Pest, message number 399, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 105, Weed and Pest Control Districts Unfair Competition. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 50, noes 8, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
I will appoint a second committee, Joint Conference Committee number 2, on House Bill 53. Senate file, excuse me, Senate file 53. I'll appoint Schiffer, Chairman, Jennings, and Martin. Okay. Concurrences? Do we have enough? Senator Cooper, are you ready on message 397?
I am, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk please read in the message? Read 397, okay. Reading clerk, please read the message.
February the 24th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, message number 397, Concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate File 45, Improvement and Service District Directors. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 49, noes 9, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move concurrence message number 397 to Senate File 45, Improvement and Service District Directors, and ask the body to vote aye. Mr. President, this was a recommendation by the Secretary of State's office and also by the County Clerks Association in Wyoming to better align this bill with the regular election dates as they're spelled out in the Election Code 2229.112A, Mr. President. So it was done on their behalf, and it's a good amendment to put the election dates in sync with the regular election days, and that's it.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, we're missing quite a number of members. And, Mr. President, these concurrences can be quite important. I think that if we're going to proceed with them at this point, I'm going to ask, pursuant to Rule 18.9, for a call of the Senate, which is something we haven't done recently, for the purpose of this concurrence that's before us, and I need 2 seconds in order to do that. So,
second. Okay, we do have the seconds. This is a new procedure for me, but I believe we remained in our. We have a roll call. Senator Cooper.
It's okay.
Where are they? Oh. You want to get your Sudoku's covered.
Senator Scott.
Reading the rule, call the Senate. Upon a call of the Senate, names of the members shall be called by the clerk and absences noted, after which the names of the absent shall be called again. The doors shall then be shut, and those for whom no excuse or insufficient excuse is made by order of those present may be taken into custody as they appear, or may be sent for and taken into custody by the sergeant of arms wherever found, or by special messenger to be appointed for the purpose.
Chief Clerk will call the roll. Senator Burns.
If I might ask as a courtesy, if you could lay that call back for about 3 minutes and let the Revenue Committee know that there's a call of the House coming.
Send the sheriff.
Mr. President, if I could ask somebody up in the gallery to let them know there's a call of the House. A call of the Senate, rather.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
Just a second. I need to read some rules.
We might as well do something while we're...
The ruling is that there's to be no interruptions. The call, the chief clerk had been asked to call the roll. Chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Here. Bebout. Here. Burns. Here. Case. Here. Coe. Here. Cooper. Here. DeCaria. Here. Dockstader, here. Esquibel, Geist, here. Hastert, here. Honeycutt, here. Jennings, here. Johnson, here. Landon, here. Larson, here. Martin, here. Massey, here. Meyer, here. Nicholas, Perkins, here. Peterson, here. Ross, here. Schiffer, here. Scott, here. Sessions, here. Townsend, here. Basie, here. Von Platern, here. President Hines,
here.
Esquibel.
Esquibel have been excused.
29 present, 1 excused.
Okay, then. Okay, everyone is present or accounted for, or excused, right? Then we asked for the call to be lifted. Senator Scott?
Mr. President, we could do that at this point, or we could do the bill that caused it and then lift it. Up to you.
Okay. We can go ahead with the concurrence then. Senator Cooper, your motion, you want to read? State your message, and then so everyone sure. knows where we're at. You was ready for message 397. Could the reading clerk read the message in again?
February the 24th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, message number 397, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file number 45, Improvement and Service District Directors. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 49, 9, 49, noes 9, excused 2. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Cooper.
Mr. President, for my second time, I move concurrence message number 397 to Senate File 45, Improvement and Service District Directors, and ask the body to vote aye. Mr. President, what this was about was after the bill had left the Senate here, the Secretary of State's office and also the County Clerks Association realized that there was a problem on the bill in coordinating the election code with this bill under Wyoming Statute 2229.112a, Mr. President, and asked that this amendment be put on. So we did it over in the committee in the House and asked you to vote aye on this amendment.
The Chief Clerk will call the roll. The motion is that Senate do concur on Senate File 45, message number 397, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel excused. Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing, vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 45. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I'm going to ask that the call of the Senate be lifted. Mr. President, by way of explanation of those that weren't here, with these concurrences where a majority of members elected is required, you could get into a situation when we had the number of absent we did, where four or five no votes could cause a conference committee and rejection of a bill. And I think these things are important enough, so it deserves the attention of the full body.
Okay. Considerations of bills in general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business. Considerations of bills in general file. Or did we have another report?
We have a joint conference committee.
Excuse me. We have a joint conference committee report. Senator Bemout, are you ready on message 354? Would the reading clerk please read in the message?
Joint Conference Committee Report, Senate Joint Resolution 5, Hydraulic Fracturing, reference House message number 354 to the engrossed copy. Signing for the House of Representatives, Representative Lockhart, Chairman, Representative Gilmore and Stubson. Signing for the Senate, Senator Bebout, Chairman, Senators Hastert and Jennings.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Joint Conference Committee report to House Message Number 354 to Senate Joint Resolution 5, Hydraulic Fracturing. Mr. President, which your conference committee did was delete the two House amendments to this joint resolution and reworded one of them. That would be the First Amendment, where it says, whereas the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality and Wyoming Oil and Gas Conservation Commission provide oversight of operations which protects, members of the Senate, that's the word we added, which protects groundwater. Then the second part of this Joint Conference Committee report is the same language that the House had inserted in it. I think this makes this a better joint resolution. Would ask for your favorable vote.
The motion is that the Senate adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution Number 5, Message 354, and you're asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert? Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions? Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines,
aye.
Hastert, aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 25 ayes, 5 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted the Joint Conference Committee report on message 354. Reference to Senate Joint Resolution Number 5. Senator Case, are you ready on message 395?
Yes, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk please read in the message? 396.
I'm ready for that one too, Mr. President.
February the 24th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, message number 396, concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate file number 2, insurance financial reporting requirements. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move message number 396, the concurrence request for Senate file number 2, insurance financial reporting requirements, and I'd ask the Senate to vote aye. The House made two very minor changes. They improved the bill. If you'll look, page 20, line 12, there's a reference to the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002, and afterwards we're inserting the words or similar provisions of subsequently enacted similar federal law. So as that law evolves, this bill would, this Wyoming law would evolve as well and pay attention to it. Mr. Chairman, the other one is on page 24, line 1. The word not was deleted and exchanged for the word neither. And Mr. President, this is a product of your Interim Corporations Committee work. We work very closely with your Insurance Department. This has to do with reporting requirements for insurance companies. Thank you, Mr. President.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate file number 2, message 396, and that you vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Coe,
Cooper,
aye.
DeCaria,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions, Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate file number 2.
one more.
Okay, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business, considerations of bills on general file.
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would yield to Senator Landon. I think he has an important introduction.
Okay, Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I do have the honor today to introduce some very special guests that we have with us here in the Senate. And I would ask, I'd like to introduce these folks to you, and I would ask them to stand as I do that. These are our Wyoming students currently attending their first year of medical school with the University of Washington School of Medicine, our WAMI students, University of Wyoming, Eric Bartholomew from Cheyenne, Kipper Blevins from Powell, Alan Brown from Star Valley, Aaron Cattalier from Cheyenne, Lee Edwards from Emblem, Aaron Hammer, Lander, Brian Hardy, Cheyenne, Dietrich Hennings, Cheyenne, Kristen Horner from Bighorn, Haley James, Rock Springs, Brian Menkhouse from Laramie, Jacob Opfer from Gillette, Philip Terser from Cheyenne, Doug Watt from Upton, or Orion Wells from Jackson, and Spencer Weston from Evanston. If you could give those guys a hand, they'll be back to help us soon. Mr. President, I also want to point out that Dr. Paul Ramsey, the Dean of the University of Washington School of Medicine, is also with us today. Dr. Ramsey, thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Senate. Appreciate that.
Thank you, and welcome to the Senate. We're glad to see you here and taking advantage of the program that we have. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself back into the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion passed. Senator Von Fledren.
Committee of the Whole will now come back to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 97. Will the clerk please read the bill in?
House Bill number 97, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. Weights and Measures, an act relating to weight and measures. It was referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Geis, Jennings, Johnson, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the pleasure. You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Geis.
Chairman. Committee of the Whole rise and report. I move that House Bill 97 do pass, and I'll yield the floor to Senator Vasey to explain the bill and the amendment.
Senator Vasey.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 97 was a two-year study done by the Joint Agriculture, State Land, and Public and Water Resources Intern Committee. It came from the Department of Ag. What it basically does is upgrade and brings our weights and measurements into this century. And it's a long bill. It's not all that complicated. The first several pages just go into the definitions, and I could read those for you, but probably you can read them yourselves. But if there are questions, we'd be glad to answer. It goes through those definitions through page 7, and then, actually a little farther than that. It goes clear through to 9, 10. Then on page 11, it talks about the technical requirements for weights and measures, the specifications, tolerance, and other technical requirements for commercial law enforcement, data gathering, and other weighing and measuring devices adopted by the National Conference of Weights and Measurements. One of the interesting things that when we talked about this, this is done on the national level, but I think, and I don't remember the exact location, but there's a place in England that truly sets the standards for weights and measurements. So if they say it's an ounce, then everybody else says it's an ounce. And that there's only one place that does that. And then on page 12 is the First Amendment, and if the reading clerk would read that amendment in, I would explain it and move the amendment.
Standing Committee Number 1.
House Bill 97, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 4.
I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 97. Basically, what this amendment does is there are certain areas that the federal government has primacy. According to our statutes, the Department of Ag and the Weights and Measurements were always responsible for that, but there's huge... huge amounts. I think we heard testimony that one gas gathering line had over 800 meters. That's done by the BLM. So what the amendment basically does, it says, unless requested by the operator, the weigh-in measuring equipment, I mean, the operator can ask for the state to do that, the department shall have no authority over the weights and measurements used in activities subject to the authority of the United States Department of the Interior, associated with onshore oil and gas. That's basically the BLM's responsibility. The United States Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, that's FERC, and they take care of their weights and measures. The Wyoming Public Service Commission, associated with pipelines and utilities, or the Wyoming Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. So at that time, I would ask... For your favorable consideration or discussion on that amendment.
Okay, we're on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to 97. Any further discussion? Question. All those in favor of Senator Vasey's motion to on Standing Committee Number 1 to House Bill 97, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Amendment Number 1 has passed. We're on the bill. Yeah, the mic's off, sorry. You're on again, Senator Vasey.
Okay, I'm sorry. Should I start at the first? No. testing and inspection of gas pumps, vehicle motor meter, tank meters, liquefied petroleum gas meters, grocery store scale inspection, vehicles and livestock scale inspection, law enforcement scales, fertilizer scales inspection, mineral systems scales, packaging labeling. The purpose of this law is the state of Wyoming is growing and the technology is advanced. Industry has become larger and more diverse. This also bill also aligns with a National Institute of Standard and Technology. It accounts for all commercial weights and measurements. It establishes a credible registered service technician. There'll be more on this later, but this is a fairly innovative way. It allows this department or a person in this department to go out and train and certify registered service technicians out of the private industry. And it's kind of unique that we do that. We allow a state person to train the private industry so the private industry can take those responsibilities on and frees up and makes less requirements for state employees. It also addresses the frequency of inspection, and then it has to deal with the accreditation of weights and measurements lab. Permits fair competition among businesses and trade in the marketplace and provides for protection to consumers and accountability. And that's the heart of the bill. This is a consumer protection bill. Just some of the statistics, there's over 3,360 scales inspected. They include everything from livestock, vehicle, railroad, mineral, small and medium capacity scales and agriculture, feed and fertilizer. There's over 10,000 liquid metering devices. They're located at refineries, vehicle tank members, liquefied gas, our gas and gas pumps, and then this registered service technician. The industry itself plays a role in weights and measurements. in the industry part of the overall inspection team. There has to be a frequency of inspections. 40-10-121 is the Department of Agriculture duties and powers, and the Department of Ag shall assume all weights and measures are suitable. And the proposed change to the law requires weighing and measuring devices to be on an established frequency determined by a regulation. Also allows for flexibility in the inspection, and it also then gets into the inspection and licensing fees. Those licensing fees are on a scale. As you well know, that that little filling station at some of these little filling stations, that like the one at Muddy Gap that has two pumps, probably shouldn't have to pay the same thing as that as say one of these big box stores that have several 10 or 12 pumps or 100 scales or things like that. So that's also in the bill. It's on page 24. These fees are just prescribed there, and they are on a sliding scale. $75 is the highest, and of course that would be for those that take some time and things like that. That pretty much talks about the bill. There is another amendment, and I would defer to the chairman of the appropriations to offer that amendment at this time.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would move the
we'll have it right in, please.
Thank you.
House Bill 97, Standing Committee Amendment Number 22, engrossed copy, page 1, line 9.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, and I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 97. Folks, the bill, as it came to the Appropriation Committee, contemplated the addition of a new employee to administer and assign to some of the new responsibilities created by this act. In addition, there was some capital funding for instruments and for the lab. What the Appropriations Committee said is, look, we'll help you fund the equipment, which is the $46,000, to get your lab up to date and get a certified equipment. However, the position is something that you need to ask through the ordinary budgetary process, pass your bill, come back next year, and then we will look at if this is their highest priority for that division. We'll look at that against all other employees that get added and all other employees of state government. But it's really not, in our mind, sound practice to create these new positions in a budget like a bill or in a spend, no, I would call it a spending bill, in a weights and measure bill, where you're not looking at this employee as compared to all other important employees that we may not have funded. So this budget goes into effect in July. We'll be back 6 months after the budget's in. So I'd urge your support of the amendment.
Ron, second committee amendment. Senator Vasey.
Mr. Chairman, I'd urge the body to reject this amendment. This was a two-year study done by a responsible committee, and all committees being equal. We could have had something cobbled last year probably and got this into a budget session, but we didn't. As always, we had to wait for the federal government. And the federal government didn't have these definitions, didn't have these rules, so we're coming to now and asking for this position and the Department of Ag. You know, we're sending things to be certified to Montana. We don't have to do that. We can do it ourselves. We might not be as flush as we were, but we still have money to do this. It's important that the person, especially when gas gets up to $2 and $3 a gallon, that you know that you're getting a full gallon of gas for that money. It's important when you buy a pound of hamburger that you're getting a pound of hamburger and it's labeled it that way. These are important things, and here again, this is an opportunity for a person to train the private industry so they can do it. It's one person, but that they can spread out and they can do it. So I would just hope that we look at the consumers. We apologize. This was a two-year study, and this is a position that the Department of Ag needs. We came late. I know that. But you know, we get caught up in this little dance we do here that the executive branch says, I'm not adding a state employee, and then The legislative branch goes, I'm not doing that, and so here the consumers suffer. And in this case, the consumers are suffering. This is the modern way to do it. This establishes the lab, puts a person in there. So I would hope you would reject this amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Meyer.
Chairman. Well, Mr. Chairman, I haven't heard of any consumer suffering as far as anybody getting something that wasn't per weight a pound or wasn't a gallon. I think this is just a model bill that the department wanted. And when they went through and looked at a model piece of the legislation, they said they needed an extra person. Now, this department came in front of us, and they wanted several different employees this year. And some of them were in areas of analytical areas, and some of them were in other areas. But the number one person that they wanted, we gave them. And we said, that's your main priority, and we'll definitely do that. And that was a maintenance man at the state fair. And so that was their number one priority. They could have had analytical positions as their number one priority, and we would have given it to them, but it wasn't. And so they come to us, and they you know, make their case, and they made a good case for their number one priority. And if this is their number one priority next year, there's money to do it, we can. But, folks, this is ongoing. This is an ongoing expense. This isn't one-time money we're talking about. This is going to be an ongoing expense, and we know right now that if we had to mark the market, our budget, just like the banks back in Wall Street did, we'd be taking $200 or $300 million out of our budget. In fact, we would probably just say, forget about it. We're not going to have a budget conference meeting because we don't have the money. Now, this is ongoing expenses, and we have to be prudent.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you're going to see here, there was some disagreement on the Appropriations Committee about taking this money out. If folks would turn to page 24 of their bill, they're going to see a series of fees there. And starting on the effective date of this bill, July 1st, the Department of Agriculture will start to charge these fees, and that's part of the bill. And the fees are there in anticipation of the training and technical assistance on this new system that the Department of Agriculture is going to provide. And that's the position. So we're in a situation now to where if we adopt the amendment and take out the position, we're still going to charge them these fees. The fees raise $100,000, which is essentially the salary plus some of the person being taken out. So the other thing it will do, in addition to charging them fees and not being able to have the training available to them, the state's general fund will gain $100,000 while only putting out $46,000, which is what would remain in the bill if this amendment were adopted. So we would be winding up making a profit for the general fund on the back of these folks who are paying the fees. So I would urge you to reject the amendment. The $100,000 will come into the general fund. The total cost to the general fund as a result by rejecting the amendment would be $45,000. And if folks wanted to make it even, Stephen, they could come in and second reading amendment and drop it by another $45,000 if they need to.
On the amendments, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, and I would like to respond to that. Folks, this is not a brand new program. There are already, I think, 1 to 2 employees in this program. These fees have been set a long time ago. Our question was, in response to my colleague from Albany County, to them was, when you're resetting the fee, were you setting the fee because that was an appropriate fee to charge? At this date, the answer was yes. And we said, is that an appropriate fee to charge in light of the existing service you're providing without any new employees? And the answer was yes. The increased amount does not pay for this program and the existing employees that are already in it. Now, these folks want to say the fees, if we wanted to make this a fee-neutral program, they wouldn't be able to pay for their existing employees and their existing equipment. So it doesn't pay for itself. So this notion that you say, well, we already have a general fund out here, and it's underwater by a couple hundred thousand dollars. If we raise new fees, Can we apply that all to new employees? Makes no sense. This is a program that has a substantial budget. They've increased fees to accommodate to what they think the current market is. Now, with respect to new employees, and I understand the notion that we work on a two-year interim program, and if we put a two-year interim work, we ought to get employees. Well, if that's the case, then what we ought to do is impose a requirement on interim committees that every time they do an interim bill, that if they want a new position, then they take a look at the department's entire budget and see whether or not there are other positions that can be lost by attrition, whether these positions can be moved around, and whether or not, given this bill, whether it is the highest priority for a department. Now, this is how you grow governments, and the easiest way for us to keep track of these employees, and it is true. When we see an employee in $140,000, we don't just see, in my mind's eye, $140,000. I see 10 years, $1.4 million. And that is the way we look at it. And we're forced to look at that because it's an expensive, ongoing operation. Now, I urge you that this division's been working satisfactory. We don't, we had heard a bunch of testimony during the budget process that there was huge problems, we would have addressed it. This can wait. And whether or not next year this is their top priority, we won't know. If it is, they'll make it their top priority. We did give them more dollars to help their analytical equipment, to get their analytical equipment up so that the people that are working there have better equipment. And that's a good start here. Let's go back to the, force them to go through the budget process, prioritize, and look at new positions in line with all positions that we do for government. I'd urge your support of the amendment.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess we remember the testimony somewhat differently. With regard to the fees, if you're going back to the white copy, the original bill that was introduced, it was $100. And the House reduced it to the $25, $50, and $75 that you see now. There is a present fee that's being charged. And if I remember correctly from the testimony, it's about $25. So the folks on the Ag Committee can correct me if I'm wrong. So the fees are going up, and they're going up because of the provisions in this bill. So additional money is being generated with the anticipation of this person coming along. Now, the present budget for this particular section of the Department of Ag, the Weights and Measurements section, is $281,000. Of that, there are 10 employees that work in that division, but all 10 of them only work part-time on going around the state and calibrating the measurements. They don't have anybody right now, those part-time folks working on this section, to do the training that's anticipated to get folks up to date here on this. So that's the reason for the request in the one position. That's the justification for my previous statement with regard to raising $100,000 as a result of these fees, and that was the testimony that we received, $100,000. Now, some of that's probably being raised now with the $25, so maybe that's not all new money, but a majority of it would certainly be. And then finally, you know, going back to the main point here, a lot of these agencies are sometimes feel like they're caught between a rock and a hard place. They have to submit their budget recommendations to the governor in the summertime so that he can start the process to give us something by December 1st. Yet this two-year interim studies are going on. Now, they may realize that eventually a bill will request a position, but if they're told by the governor not to request it in their budget, but instead to request it in the bill, sometimes they aren't quite sure which way to act. Other times they are, and then I agree with the point that was made before, and that sometimes it's a way of going around the process.
Senator Geis.
I'm speaking on against the amendment. If you go back 10 years, this department's here to protect the consumer. How many times in the last 10 years have we had to bail out different entities of the public on account of we have the department spread too thin? I can name some in Goshen County. I can name some up in the Bighorn Basin that we've had to come in. If just give them one or two more employees, we'll probably eliminate a lot of money we've had to bail out, to bail these consumers out. So I'd ask you to vote no on the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To rebut in part, I guess, the Goshen County one that I think the good senator from Worland is talking about was the bean debacle, and frankly, that was because a person was afraid to crawl up a grain bin and do an inspection. Wouldn't make any difference how many people you hire if they're afraid to crawl up a grain bin and do an inspection. But Mr. Chairman, I would hope that you would support this amendment. You know, the 10 part-time employees, we haven't heard a lot of people come out here and say that we've got problems with our weights and measures. In fact, I've had a lot of people from Goshen County call me and say that we just don't need to grow this bureaucracy, that our scales and our weights are being tested fine, we're not having any problems with it, and why hire somebody? And basically, it's a situation, if it isn't broke, you don't have to fix it, and we really don't have to fix this one.
Senator Vasey.
Mr. Chairman, we all represent good, honest, hardworking Wyoming citizens. All of us have a Senate district to represent. But I have to tell you, every once in a while, somebody in my Senate district says, we don't need any more oversight, and then I have to hear the rest of the story is why we don't need any, and sometimes they're justified, and sometimes they aren't. So I think you take that. The other thing that this metrologist would do would be his responsibility or her responsibility for large-scale capacity scale inspection. That takes about 820 man-hours, 430 scales, and with a drive time inspection, those are the ones that make sure that the trucks don't tear up our precious interstates, also the coal haulers and things like that. So I would hope you'd reject this, and we'd move on, we'd have this position, and we'd be ready to go next year.
Further comment on the amendment? If not, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas' motion to adopt the Standing Committee number 2 to House Bill 97, please say aye. Those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Division. All those in favor of Standing Committee number 2's amendment, please stand. All those in favor. All those opposed, please stand. That amendment has failed. We're back on the bill, 14-14. Chair put in, 14-14, amendment dies. A tie vote, amendment dies. We're on the next amendment, Committee of the Whole. Point of order. It takes a simple majority of those present. It doesn't take those elected. 28 total, 14-14. It fails. Doesn't matter. We're on a committee of the whole. He was standing up after the announcement of the vote tally, so 14-14 still dies. If you want to call a management rules committee, I mean? Okay. We're on the committee of the whole amendment. Senator Vasey?
Back on the bill, there is a third reading amendment committee of the whole amendment to this. This bill, and for that explanation, I would move that third reading.
I'll have the reader please read it in.
House Bill 97, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 4.
And Senator Geis.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move Standing Committee of the Whole on Senate File 97. And what this does is on page 12, line 13, after the first Senate Standing Committee Amendment, this line further amend as followed. The department shall have no authority over weights and measures used by weighing livestock when the livestock are weighed pursuant to a written agreement between two parties using the weighing device. And what we're talking about here is a set of scales out in the middle of nowhere, and they haven't been tested and all this does is relieve the state of the liability of responsibility. If those two parties want to weigh them cattle and or sheep or whatever, have at it. But the state's not liable for the, whether the scales are correct or incorrect, and nine times out of ten, one or the other is going to get beat.
Further discussion on the Committee of the Whole amendment? Senator? Seeing none, all in, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Geis's motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 97, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No?
No.
That amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none. Are you, all those in favor of Senator Geis's motion when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 97, please say aye. Those opposed, no?
No.
House bill has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 236. Will the reading clerk please read it in? Don't drop it.
House Bill number 236, sponsored by Representative Harshman, School Finance Instructional Facilitator Program and Act Relating to School Finance. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Coe, DeCarrier, Jennings, Massey, Von Flatern, Senator Coe, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Your pleasure, Senator Coe.
Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 236, and there is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
Would the clerk read it in, please?
House Bill number 236, Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 2, line 13.
And Mr. Chairman, I would move that amendment. In dealing with the amendment, it goes to page 2 of the bill. And first of all, the bill is to do with instructional facilitators and provides for some qualifications, clarifies some of the duties, and prioritizes help from the teachers. If you go to page 2, the Standing Committee Amendment, page 2, line 13, we do some wordsmithing. We delete evidence that. On page 2, line 16, we delete or employ facilitators holding and insert and. And on page 2, line 21, after achievement, we insert overtime. It's all just wordsmithing to make it more clear. It's language clarification. Ask for the question on the amendment.
Any discussion on Standing Committee Amendment number 1? If not, all those in favor of Senator Coe's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 236, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Coe.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, House Bill 236 goes into the Instructional Facilitator Program and puts some requirements in there for instructional facilitators. Now, remember what we've done with instructional facilitators in Senate File 56 as it left this body had a significant enhancement to instructional facilitators. If you go through the bill, the first thing it does four specific things. It requires instructional facilitators employed after June 30th of 2009 that they have at least 5 years of classroom teaching experience or hold a master's degree or national board certification. You'll see that on page 2, paragraph 3, little I. Second thing it does, it requires instructional facilitator program to include a system of evaluating the performance based upon student achievement and to provide programs designed to improve instructor skills and knowledge through continuous learning and support. You'll find this on page 2, paragraph 4. Third thing it does is it requires facilitators to be recognized for instructional leader skills and not be delegated administrative or other duties not related to doing what they're doing. You'll find this on page 3, lines 5 through 21. And the final thing it does, it requires the department to report back to the Joint Education Committee on the impact of facilitation strategies designed to link instructor performance to student achievement and to make recommendations on program structure prior to the 2010 model recalibration. You'll find that on page 4, part of paragraph F, lines 8 through 18. Mr. Chairman, that's pretty much what the bill does. It comes in and talks about qualifications for instructional facilitators, 5 years experience, master's degree, professional board certification. I think this is all good stuff when we start talking about instructional facilitators. It's a very important part of how we do things in the education finance model, and remember that instructional facilitators are funded outside the model. With that, Mr. Chairman, I try to answer questions. There is a Committee of the Whole amendment.
Would you read in the Committee of the Whole amendment?
House Bill 236, Committee of the Whole amendment number 12, engrossed copied, page 2, line 21.
Senator DeCaria.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would move Committee of the Whole amendment number 1 to House Bill 236 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. Mr. Chairman, what this amendment does is just go in to clarify a couple of sections of this piece of legislation. Mr. Chairman, as was explained by the bill sponsor, one of the purposes of this is to go in and identify what's actually going on with these instructional facilitators. But the way the wording was written in Romanet 4 on page 2, I think you could if you read that, you might mistake that to mean that you're really going to go in and look at the classroom instructor's performance. I mean, that's something that gets looked at anyway. But really, if we wanted to look at what the instructional facilitator program, the first part of the amendment, the page 2, line 21, all it will do is insert in there, so it would say, a system for identifying and evaluating instructor facilitator performance, which measures student achievement based on, and then the rest of it was there. So the first part will just make it clear that what we're trying to evaluate is the school facilitator performance. And the second part of the amendment, Mr. Chairman, would go over onto page 3, and it would go down into subsection D, and it would just change that section so it reads, not delegated or assigned to primarily perform other duties or responsibilities not related to instructional improvement. And, Mr. Chairman, I didn't want to neglect the part about administration, but, I mean, I think that would administrative tasks could be lots of tasks that people have to do. And so I think that covers that. But then the new subsection E, Mr. Chairman, would be that it's not given responsibility for direct administrative supervision or the evaluation of instructors for the purpose of making personnel decisions, including contract renewal or termination. Mr. Chairman, the strength of the instructional facilitator program really depends upon that they have a very good working relationship and can build a sense of trust and go into the classroom to get teachers to try new things, to improve instructional practice, and take a lot of care into what goes on in that practice. Mr. Chairman, if you mix that line up where they think that there is supervisory in there, where they're going to be evaluated in the job performance, it really does degrade on the effectiveness of the school facilitator, the school facilitator's role in this process. And so all this amendment does, Mr. Chairman, is just makes that more clear of what is the role of the school facilitator, and that they aren't directly, that they have no supervisory or evaluation role over the people that they're working with. With that, I would be happy to answer questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion, Committee of the Whole, number one. Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, I view this as a friendly amendment. I think it's very important that these instructional facilitators have a focus, a total focus on what they're doing out there, because we're trying to take some teachers that maybe are struggling a little bit and make teachers better for the benefit of the kids. So this is a good amendment for the kids.
Any further discussion on Committee of the Whole? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator DeCaria's motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 236, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole Number 1 has passed, has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion? Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, and I need an explanation, I think. On page 2, line 22, I'm not sure what when they start talking about an established achievement gains model, I don't know what that means. Is that whether kids are making progress? If so, we don't test for that. We have a pause test. What in the world do those words mean? They're wonderful words, but they're inscrutable.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Massey.
Mr. Chairman, I can take a stab at that. I also was wondering what that was, and I think one of us raised the question in committee. It's a term of art, and it indicates that there are several models out there which are able to measure the increased achievement of students and the way and the reasons for that increase in achievement. And so what this is saying is based upon one of those established models, which provides programs designed to improve instructor skills and knowledge gained through continuous learning. You know, the wording after that is rather rough, quite frankly. But the established achievement gains model is something that's well known in the educational profession, and there are several models that they can cite in order to demonstrate that the work of the instructional facilitators is having a positive effect upon the teachers, and that could be measured through the improved gains of the students.
Senator Coe?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I also circled that. I had a question about it, and I remember the sponsor of the bill, I think, specifically referenced...
it's on. Is it turned towards you, or it's lit up here?
Well, I've got it turned towards Senator Townsend so he can talk into it.
That's why it's so quiet.
The sponsor of the bill brought this up, too, and I circled the same stuff because I had the same questions that the good senator from Laramie did, and he talked a little bit about his home district, which happened to be up in Natrona County, and that they actually have within the parameters of their district, they have what they call an established achievement gains model that they adopt, and that's all I know about it. Probably doesn't answer your question.
Senator Schiffer?
Mr. Chairman, no, actually, that goes directly to my concern. What you're writing into statute is a unique program in one school district in the state. Hence my reference to the PAWS test, which is statewide. You're putting a very specific in-district program from Natrona County District 2, one or two districts, whatever they are, doesn't matter, into statute and telling every other district in the state, this is the standard by which we're going to judge this program. That worries me. It worries me because I don't have any idea whether their program is good or bad, whether it's going to, and I'll just localize it, whether Natrona County's system of evaluation is as good or not as good or better than any one of the same evaluation tools in the four school districts that I represent. It may be the best, or it may be the best in the world. But it may not work in Sheridan District 3, and yet we're putting it into statute, and this is a very specific term of art. Nothing against them using it, but to say now Natrona County is going to dictate to the other 47 districts, this is the term of art. My suggestion is that if there's a test that tests this stuff, let's put the test in statute, but not the program to implement it.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, again, the testimony that we got in committee is that there are several of these models out there. It wasn't specific to one particular school district. And I believe the Department of Education also verified that during the testimony as well. Now, I mean, I'll be happy to work with the fine senator from Johnson County on some rewording of not only that line but the three lines that follow that. And maybe throw in some periods and a couple commas in there. We could eliminate that term entirely, frankly, and just talk in general about the concept that we're trying to achieve there and make it a lot less confusing, I think.
Further discussion, Senator DeCaria.
And Mr. Chairman, the term gains in that sentence is kind of it's a generic term, so I think you could actually say that the PAWS would be one of those, but I would agree that it might there, some wordsmithing might be in order to make sure that we're clear on all of that.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I understand it, and to our sponsor here, with our amendment here, and it's not on the amendment, but the bill as a whole, didn't we just eliminate a lot of very qualified teachers, if I'm reading this right? They have to have a master's now or a national certification, be able to be a facilitator, 5 years and so aren't we eliminating a lot of qualified teachers to be facilitators?
Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. Chairman, clearly we're raising the bar here. There's no question about it. 5 years experience, master's degree, professional board certification, any of those. 5 years experience fits in there, I think, the way I read it as well. So I'm not sure we really are. We are. The minimum we're putting in there is 5 years, 5 years experience. So, and I think with the instructional facilitator program, we want a teacher out there that's coaching our teachers out there that has at least 5 years experience or a master's degree or professional board certification. So we are raising the bar.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That might be something that we can just clear up on second reading, but I agree with the good senator from Star Valley. I think we might be fencing some people out that I happen to know a lot of great teachers who may not have a master's or a national certification, and they would be the best candidates ever to serve as instructional facilitators. So I believe that by saying and, we're asking them to have 5 years experience and either a master's or a national certification. So, you know, maybe we just need to clarify that. We can take a look at it.
Okay. Senator Coe?
Please, Mr. Chairman, read the first part of paragraph three little I. Except for facilitators employed on or before June 30th, 2009. So after June 30th, 2009, that's when we're going to raise the bar back up.
Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 236, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 236 has been passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for consideration is House Bill 134.
House Bill number 134, sponsored by the Select Natural Resources Committee, Natural Resource Large Project Funding, and Act relating to the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act. It was referred to Committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resource. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Cole, Dockstetter, Jennings, and Session, Senator Burns, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, and Peterson. No, Senator Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman? I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 134, Natural Resource Large Project Funding. Mr. Chairman, if the body recalls, when we passed the Natural Resource Trust Fund, there was a threshold of $200,000 that was put in that basically stated any project that was over $200,000, either in any given year or in the cumulative, would have to be reviewed first by the Oversight Committee, then by the legislature in general. The Natural Resource Trust Fund Board brought through a number of projects. So these projects have gone through the Oversight Committee and they've gone through the TRW Committee, and they're here for approval from this body. The thing to keep in mind on this is that the money is already there. This is not part of the appropriation for the next budget bill. I've made sure that the body's had a few handouts so they can follow along. If there's two handouts, one is a map of Wyoming with green stars on it to show where these projects are. And there's also a quite a bit larger handout with a listing, I think about two pages for each project. So anybody who would like to follow along, and I would just like to go through the bill and go through the projects. The first one is the Hovendick easement. And this is over by Lander. And it is a total of $1.5 million for the total cost of the project itself. The original request was $350,000. The Wyoming Natural Resource Trust Fund is putting in $270,000 into this. The idea behind this easement is for sage grouse, for late brood rearing, mule deer fisheries, water quality, and to maintain the family ranch. There's a 700-acre easement on this. And, Mr. Chairman, if anybody has any questions about any of these particular projects, I will try to answer them, and better off probably referring them back to the executive director of the trust fund itself if the answer is too involved. But anybody who wants to interrupt me during this presentation, otherwise sit back and relax, folks. Next one is the Cottonwood Ranch North Bench easements. These are up in Sublette County, which is where, frankly, the majority of the projects are right now, frankly, and Mr. Chairman, currently it's because, for a number of reasons. One is that's where the need is the most, but also that's where the projects are most ready. The trust fund board gets any number of requests, and they have a criteria by which they decide which projects they're going to take. And right now, frankly, the greatest need is up in that area. That's where we've got migration corridors and habitat, frankly, at risk because of mineral development and so forth, and we're trying to keep the habitat in those areas and maintain family ranches. The next one, as I said, is Cottonwood Ranch North Bend easements. This is the original request is $390,000. The trust fund allocated $390,000 to it. It's to maintain the family ranch. It's 7,128 acres, and it's for sage grouse, elk, mule deer, migrant songbirds, moose habitats, fisheries, and water quality, and also for livestock forage. The next project is the Summers Grindstone easements. It's being sponsored by Game and Fish. This is a large project, but it's also a very important project, and the trust fund's putting in $1 million into this. It's to maintain two historic ranches in western Wyoming. The easement is almost 7,700 acres for sage grouse, moose, mule deer, migrant songbirds, fisheries, and water quality, 5 miles of public access to the Green River, which I think is very important. The next project is the Duke Place easement. Wyoming Game and Fish Commission is the sponsor. The trust fund is putting $500,000 into this. It's to maintain a family ranch. It's a 12-mile corridor consisting of 11,304 acres. It benefits mule deer, elk, moose, sage grouse, grassland birds, migration corridors. The landowner is donating $2.5 million of easement value toward this project. It connects with Bridger Teton. So what you'll end up doing is having a migration corridor all the way from Bridger Teton all the way to the Green River. Mr. Chairman, the next project is the Sublette wildlife fencing. And this is to go up into that corridor, which is actually the longest migration route in North America for the pronghorn, from the Jackson Hole area down into that country down by Pinedale, south of Pinedale. And a lot of that fencing is, frankly, has been that's been put in over the last 80 years is inhabitable major obstacles for the pronghorn migration. And as a matter of fact, at one point, that particular migration corridor is only a couple of hundred yards wide because of the development on either side. The request was for $400,000. The trust fund is putting $200,000 into it. This is to enhance and maintain migration routes for antelope and mule deer. This, by the way, this migration route is 37,000 acres. The next project is Cottonwood Grass Creek. The original request was $447,500. The trust fund is putting $225,000 into that. And this is more for habitat development. It involves the removal of Russian olive and salt cedar on approximately 30 miles of stream, and it's for basically for water yield and water quality, livestock forage, and riparian areas. Mr. Chairman, the next project in the bill is the Ring Lake Ranch, and this is up by Du Bois. The sponsor is the Jackson Hole Land Trust. The original request was for $300,000. The trust fund board is putting $300,000 into it. And this is for bighorn sheep winter range. This may actually be the best bighorn sheep winter range in North America. It's part of the mule deer migration corridor, and it's an elk migration corridor. It's actually quite important, even though it's only 419 acres. And if you look on your handout, there's also world-class petroglyphs in that area that would be protected by this particular conservation easement. The next project is the Kendrick Dam Bypass. They're putting $200,000 into this. The sponsor is Wyoming Game and Fish. This is to expand spawning habitat for warm water fish and maintenance of the Powder River riparian integrity and irrigation efficiency. And if I recall this, Mr. Chairman, this particular dam bypass is going to open up another 30 miles of warm water habitat to fish. And my understanding of this is that the next problem from the federal standpoint may be habitat for warm water fish. So what we're doing basically is trying to keep ahead of the curve on any problems that might rise from demands from the federal government. Mr. Chairman, the next project is the Kusel Ranch easement. This is up in my county, Sheridan County. The original request was $350,000. The trust fund is putting in $250,000. It's to maintain a family ranching operation. It's a little over 1,000 acres, and it's for sharp-tailed grouse, grassland birds, turkey game birds, and mule deer. Mr. Chairman, the next project is the Bags Deer Crossing. Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Fund is putting in $250,000. This is, frankly, it's a very simple goal. It's to solve the problem at this particular point in the road. It's about a half mile on I'm trying to remember the route, down by Bags, but they account for about 400 to 450 collisions between vehicles and deer every year. It's one of the worst in the state. And this would build an underpass under the road for the deer to be able to get under the road without having to climb up and get hit. The Wildlife Trust Fund is providing the concrete box itself that goes under the road, not the fencing. And this is also one of the first projects in which they're working in coordination with YDOT on to accomplish something like this. The next project is Bates Creek 4. They've been working on this project since Bates Creek, in the Bates Creek watershed, since the, I think it was one of the first projects on the part of the trust fund. They're putting in $200,000 last year, $300,000 this year. The idea, and if you look at the picture, a lot of this is burning. It's for sage grouse, elk, mule deer, migrant songbirds, aspen habitat, fisheries, water quality, and livestock forage. Mr. Chairman, the next project is Lander Front Mule Deer 2. This is a continuation of another one of the original projects that the trust fund worked on, and it's actually to enhance habitat for the mule deer along the mountains at along Lander there. There has been, the deer is still only about two-thirds or three-quarters to the goal that Game and Fish wants for the number of mule deer in that area. The cost allocation is $304,388 total. for this year's allocation is only be will only be $174,388. It's not only for mule deer, but it's also for sage grouse, elk, and grassland birds, aspen habitat, livestock forage, and sagebrush ecosystems. Mr. Chairman, the next project up is the Wyoming Range Aspen 2 project. They're putting the current allocation on this is $150,000 in addition to $410,000 that was put in before. Again, if you look at the picture, you can see how some of this is cleared by planned burns. This, again, is for mule deer, moose, elk fisheries, aspen habitats, water production, and livestock forage. The next project, Mr. Chairman, is the Kearney Ranch Easement 2. The sponsor of the entire project is the Conservation Fund. The allocation to this year is $195,000 in addition to the $200,000 that was approved for last year. Again, this is for a major migration corridor for pronghorn, elk, mule deer, moose. It consists of just shy of 4,000 acres. It's crucial range for sage grouse and trumpeter swan, which is actually a new one on me. I didn't know that they were originally native to this area, and they're trying to expand the habitat for them. It joins numerous other easements. It's a large donation of value to maintain a ranch operation also. Mr. Chairman, the next project is the North Laramie Range 3. The Game and Fish Commission is the sponsor of this. The allocation for this year will be $340,020 in addition to $200,000 that was allocated last year. This is for sage grouse, elk, mule deer, songbirds, aspen habitats, fisheries and water quality, and livestock forage. And, Mr. Chairman, that was the last of the projects for this year, and I'd be glad to stand for any questions.
Senator Vebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question on the overall bill, and I added up the project cost as listed for the total projects, and the exposure is about $45 million. Are we obligated in any way, shape, or form to be responsible for that in $45 million just because we start the projects, or is that something that there's leeway in the negotiations? Are we now committing this trust fund to $45 million already with just what we have?
Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, no. There is no obligation on the part of the state past what the Wildlife Trust is already putting in there. And I'm sorry about the lack of explanation, and I should have pointed this out. When you look at the bottom of each page, you see a leverage. And by that leverage, that is the amount of benefit that we're getting back for the amount of money that the trust fund is putting in. So, for instance, the sublet wildlife fencing, it's a $2.4 million project. They asked for $400,000, but the trust fund's only putting in $200,000. So the leverage on that is 11 times what the trust fund is actually putting into it. So if you look at each one of these projects at the bottom on the handout, at the bottom you can see exactly what the leverage is for each project. And the reason the leverage figure was put in there was to show the benefit that we're getting. The funding for the other parts of these projects is coming from other sources, other trust funds, other foundations and endowments, and in some cases, actually in a number of the cases on the easements, conservation easements, the landowner is giving up that property right, the right to develop it. And while I'm on that, they're giving up the right to develop it for housing or for subdivision, but they're not giving up the right to develop it for minerals. Because with the exception, I believe, of mining, because that's considered permanent. But extraction of gas or oil is considered a temporary use, and the conservation easement does not inhibit that.
Senator Larson.
Easements, it's my understanding, as you go through these, there's a lot of them looking at easements. Are there any public easements? Do public access easements exist in any of these, or are they all only development easements?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, the answer to the question is some of them are public easements. It's up to the landowners. The idea behind the Wildlife Trust Fund in the first place was to be able to keep habitat within the state for our wildlife. and through cooperation with the landowners. And in many cases, it's up to them whether they wanted to let the public in or not. And I think one of the best examples I believe it's the North Bench or the Summers Grindstone. One of them allows about 5 miles of easement onto the Green River. Summers Grindstone. And that was up to the family, and that's what they decided to allow. It depends on the separate negotiation between the Wildlife Trust Fund and the landowner on this. And in some cases it does, in some cases it doesn't.
Senator Vasey?
Chairman, just a question on these projects, but specifically on this Cottonwood Grass Creek where they're removing Russian olive and salt cedar. That's a problem throughout the state, and it's, there's other entities trying that. Is there a clearinghouse for best practices? I mean, they will learn something at the end of this project, but is there a way to disseminate that best practices, maybe on all of these, to other entities that are interested in doing that?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sure that the information is not proprietary. Anything they learn from this, I'm sure the trust fund would be glad to disperse. I don't know that they've ever been asked about that. Most of this is, there are no employees of the trust fund itself. It's contracted out to others who will do whatever the state of the art of the technology is. Particularly on the salt cedar, there was a great story over by Yellowtail Dam, where there was dry ground and there were a whole bunch of salt cedar, and they went in and took out the salt cedar. And the next day they had to go in with chains and stuff to get out the little machine thing because it was sinking in a swamp that wasn't there before they started cutting the salt cedar. And I guess these salt cedar and these junipers just suck up water like it's nobody's business.
Senator Geis.
This is an experiment they're running up in my country. This Cottonwood drainage and Grass Creek drainage is all in my district. And they're doing this in conjunction with the soil conservation districts. And they have these deals mounted on a cat and stuff. And they go in there and then they put this formula solution down on the roots to kill the salt cedar and the Russian olives. It's a very costly project. The state of Wyoming should have been on this about 50 years ago.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, further, if you want information on the control of particularly salt cedar, but I think also Russian olive, my experience has been that your weed and pest district is a pretty good source.
Thank you. Senator Burns, did you have a committee of the whole? Do you want that at any time?
Senator from Washington County thought this should have been done 50 years ago, then he should have proposed it in his freshman term. Mr. Chairman, I would like I've got a committee of the whole amendment, and it's mostly grammatical, and I'd like it to be read in now, please.
Thank you.
House Bill 134, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 10.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 134. Mr. Chairman, this is basically grammatical. It goes into the bill, and everywhere where it says permanent use restriction, that's taken out, and the word conservation easement is put in. It's a more commonly used term, and it's also used throughout statute, so it's just to keep it consistent.
Any further discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 134, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Ready for the question. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 134, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 134 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 183. Will the clerk read it in, please?
House Bill Number 183, sponsored by Representative Escobel, Military Tuition Assistance, an act relating to the educational assistant for National Guard members. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highway, Military Affairs. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, Landon, Von Platern, Senator Von Platern, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Landon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 183 do pass. There is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
House Bill number 183, Standing Committee Amendment number 1, page 1, line 8.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Essentially, what the Standing Committee amendment is a lot of the bill, and so I'm going to defer to my good colleague from Laramie County for an explanation of the bill and the Standing Committee amendment.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In explanation of the bill, I'd like to start with the Standing Committee amendment and go through it. Page 1, line 8, we're deleting 19-9-503.
Senator Johnson, I'm sorry you didn't move the Standing Committee amendment.
Oh, okay. Well, at this time, I'd like to move the Standing Committee amendment.
I'm sorry, Senator Johnson, I do apologize to the body. Senator Landon did move it originally.
No, he didn't.
I had him.
Oh. Well, can I do it then?
Please do it. Please do it for me, Senator Johnson.
No, it's my turn. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 183.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, back to page 1, line 8, Mr. Chairman, where we're deleting 19-9-503B2, and you'll see why in just a minute. Page 1, line 9, we're switching R to is, since there's only one statute citation up there. And if you go over to page 2, we delete all of page 2. And you go over to page 3, we delete all of page 3 down to line 9. So that doesn't leave a whole lot of the bill, Mr. Chairman. What we have on page 1, line 16, is the amendment that goes into the bill after that. This expands our Wyoming National Guard, Air and Army Guard, with distance learning opportunities. But they can only use this after they have obtained an associate's degree, and they should obtain the associate's degree from one of the 7 community colleges in Wyoming. A lot of times, if they were not working, they could use their GI Bill. But a lot of these people are working because they have families, they have jobs, and they earn a living in between deployments. So this is expanding their abilities to go on from an associate's degree and pick up a bachelor's degree, essentially, that they can do at home. So we have on page 1, line 16, we delete the colon, and then we insert... Wyoming Institution of Higher Education or institution means, and then we have several columns there. And then we have a public or private educational institution located within this state and approved for payment of Montgomery GI Bill benefits. That's your standard GI Bill. Then we go on institutions, includes a public or private educational institution offering an accredited degree program in Wyoming through distance education under a partnership agreement with any branch of the United States Armed Forces. So, again, they've got to qualify for Montgomery GI Bill, but they have contracts with any branch of the United States Armed Forces. It's a simple bill, and it gives our soldiers and airmen the chance to pick up their bachelor's degree, whether they're home in Wyoming or whether they're on deployment. It's long-distance learning. And I think it's a fine bill and would ask your support.
We're on the amendment. Any further discussion on Standing Committee Amendment number 1? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Johnson's motion to adopt Standing Committee of the Amendment number 1 to House Bill 183, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on House Bill 183? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Landon's motion to amend the Committee of the Whole Rises report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 183, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 183 has been adopted by the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 33. Reading clerk, please read.
House Bill number 3, Expanded Opportunity Pilot Program, sponsored by Representative Hammonds. An act relating to public education.
A correction on that. It is House Bill 33.
House Bill 33.
Thank you.
It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Coe, DeCarrier, Massey, Von Flatron. No, Senator Jennings, Senator Coe, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriation. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend. Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Coe?
Mr. Chairman, moving committee the whole rise and report it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 33. There is a standing committee amendment. I ask it to be read in at this time.
Would the reading clerk please read in?
House Bill number 33, standing committee amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 2, line 11.
Mr. Chairman, move that further reading be dispensed with and further move the amendment. And for an explanation of the standing committee amendment and the bill, I defer to Senator Massey.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The House Bill 33 begins to deal with one of the most important problems that we have facing us today in K through 12 education, and that's the dropout rate. In high school in particular, of students who decide to drop out rather than graduate. And this is a significant problem. The bill that folks see in front of them is not the answer. It's probably not even half the answer, but it's part of the answer. And it's a pilot program that will be a joint venture between community colleges and high school in order to offer programs and instructional opportunities for these dropouts as a way of getting them back into school or perhaps even of retaining them in high school. Mr. Chairman, I've passed out a little bit earlier today in your box with the name of the majority floor leader at the top who distributed is a two-sided fact sheet. And on the first is on the front page of that fact sheet is a graph that shows Wyoming's dropout rate over a period of time. Actually, it shows the graduation rate, and the opposite, of course, is the dropout rate. So there for a little while, it started getting better, but just in the last few years, it started to drop back down again. And therefore, our dropout rate has been increasing. And you can see where your particular area of the state falls by flipping that sheet over. And on the back side is a table. At the very bottom, says Wyoming, and you go over to the far right, the present rate, or at least the rate that was measured, the most updated statistics we have, indicates a 79.5% graduation rate, or essentially a little bit over a 20% dropout rate. And you can see where your school district lines up in that. It's a statewide problem, though. And here's why it's a problem. It's a problem for those kids who drop out and what they're going to face for the rest of their life. The gap between dropouts and folks who go on to get a high school diploma and then eventually go on to get a degree is widening all the time. There was a wonderful book that was written about a decade ago by Paul Kennedy called America in the 21st Century. And it predicted what the world is going to be like through the rest of this century and how important education is going to be. And he makes a very valid point, which over the last 10 years has proven to be true. And that is a high school diploma really doesn't work anymore. You have to go on to get a technical degree, at least some kind of talent and skills in a trade, or more than likely, you really need a bachelor's degree in order to access the jobs that are going to pay a decent living. Recent dropouts will earn $200,000 less in a lifetime than high school graduates, and over $800,000 less in their lifetime than those who go on to graduate from college. Dropouts today make up nearly half the heads of households that are on welfare, and dropouts make up nearly half of the prison population. Okay? So it's a problem. And if they drop out of school, they're going to face challenges for the rest of their life, as well as the public and their community are going to face challenges. So what does this bill do about it? Mr. Chairman, in taking a look at the bill in Section 1, page 1 of the bill, $160,000 is appropriated from the Public School Foundation Program in order to fund a pilot program called the Expanded Opportunity Pilot Program, which is a collaboration targeting high school dropouts and those students who are at risk of dropping out of high school and trying to reduce that rate. And it's a pilot program that's a collaboration between a community college and a high school, or actually what we're hoping are several high schools within that community college service area. The intent of the program, or the criteria, Mr. Chairman, that the program will try to achieve and the folks that it's aimed at are listed at the bottom of page 2. The criteria, which is going to be established by the Community College Commission in consultation with the Department of Education, shall target concurrent and dual high school community college enrollment programs that are targeted at two different populations. One, at gifted and talented students who are at risk of dropping out. A lot of folks think students who are struggling academically who drop out, and most of the time they are, but there are also gifted and talented students that drop out as well because they aren't being challenged. In Too Little Eye on 2 and 3, it's also to develop concurrent and dual enrollment programs in career and technical education, also targeted at at-risk students. On page 3 are some other programs that would qualify for funding, particularly those that are innovative electronic programs that apply technology that can have outreach to students beyond the regular school hours, late afternoon, in the evening, on weekends, and in the summer in particular. And in particular, it's also for programs that will help students get through and meet the basic academic requirements in a high school. So it could be programs that, again, meet after hours or on weekends to help them out with math or English or in other areas in order to help them get them through to get to that diploma. Down on the bottom of page 3, Mr. Chairman, it starts talking about the process for receiving these funds and that the Community College Commission shall provide sufficient notification to schools and colleges about the grant program and develop the requirements and the criteria in order to enable program applications by July 1st. So the commission's going to have to get on the ball and get moving on this, develop the procedures and the criteria in order to permit applications by July 1st, and also prescribe a uniform methodology for identifying and defining what at-risk means, so that everybody who applies will have the same understanding. This is what we mean by an at-risk student that we're going to try to access with this program. Lines 9 through 11, Mr. Chairman, has one of the amendments has one of the provisions that's in the amendment, and that is these programs that are eventually funded with these grant awards don't have to be exclusively for at-risk students. Other students can take them as well if they find an interest in it. However, we do indicate, since it's being funded with this particular program money, that at-risk students make up at least half of the class. Subsection D, Mr. Chairman, indicates that these programs will be offered during the 2009-2010 academic year, and that the applications need to have certain information in them, and that's specified down there at the bottom of page 4, particularly the high schools that are going to be working with them, the at-risk population that they're going to be dealing with, and the components of the program that they're going to be wanting to offer. Top of page 5, Mr. Chairman, the maximum award can be $50,000. Most of the awards anticipated to be around $15,000 or so. So the appropriation should be able to support many programs. They set it at $50,000 with the idea that perhaps a community college could come up with a very innovative idea that would include lots of high schools, and they didn't want to discourage an application like that. Subsection F indicates that $10,000 can be used to by the commission to administer this. And then finally, subsection G requires a report that's going to be provided to the commission. Over on the top of page 6, the report shall provide not only an indication of the programs that were funded, but also an analysis by the commission on whether these things were actually working. Is there any indication that these innovative partnerships are getting at the at-risk students and retaining them and keeping them in the high school? Mr. Chairman, as I was walking through there, I pretty well explained most of the substance of the amendment. Quite a bit of the amendment is just cleanup and clarifying language as we go through there. Some of the more important parts, I noted that the classes need to be, at least half of them need to be at risk, and we changed and clarified some of the reporting requirements. So, Mr. Chairman, with regard to the amendment, be glad to address any questions on the amendment and call for approval of the amendment.
Okay, we're on the standing committee number one amendment. Any further discussion on that? If not, all those in favor of Senator Coe's motion to adopt standing committee amendment number one to House Bill 33, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Senator Massey.
Is there any questions on the bill? And if none, I call for the question.
Further discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, one of the ways we're going to measure, probably the best way we're going to measure success in these programs and our other efforts in the dropout rate is to actually look at what happens to the dropout rate. When our school district first looked into this, they discovered at that time dropout rates were frequently calculated by comparing the incoming senior class to the outgoing senior class. And when you look back to the class coming in at ninth grade compared to the senior graduating class, you got a very different set of, and much less optimistic set of statistics. My question is, has that problem been resolved, and are these collected on a standardized basis? And if so, what is it?
Senator Massey.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, it has been resolved. I think, if I understand correctly from the questioner, the problem that you get at is, what is the overall student population that you're measuring in order to come up with an accurate dropout rate? And yes, the Department of Education has standardized that, and the reporting that will come through the commission will use the standardization that the department has had in order to measure it. And that standardization is going to be, what is that total population that you have in ninth grade as they start to go through, and how many of them actually make it to 12th grade? So that's going to be the standard that we're going to proceed with.
Further discussion, Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was the no vote on this, and I don't think that this is a bad program, but I think we're making a policy decision that's kind of sneaking through on us. We haven't taken school foundation money directly out of the school foundation account and put it someplace else other than schools. And in Article 7, Section 8 of the Constitution, it talks about the provision shall be made by general law for income going out to the schools. And in Section 4, it talks about how the money should only be used for schools and not for just for the public free schools and not for colleges. I talked to the sponsor of the bill and brought that to her attention, and she didn't seem to want to take it in consideration. In addition, in testimony, we were told that the college here in Cheyenne is very successful at doing one of these programs. They stepped out and they did it without additional funding. My biggest problem is that we are making a policy change, school foundation account money directly, not diverted above it, but directly out of it to the community colleges.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got a question that I've always wanted to ask but have been afraid to. And I'm going to do it out over the web anyway. What do I have to lose at this age? A 16-year-old junior in a Cheyenne high school, the family moves. They don't tell anybody where they're going. They just pick up and move. Okay, in the first case, they move up to the basin somewhere, and the kids start school. In the second case, they move back to Maine, where they're originally from, a small town, let's say Justice, Maine, and the kids start school. Does the school here in Laramie County know that they have redone their, they've started school again wherever they move to, or is that child counted as a dropout?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With regard to the second question, it's really beyond the scope of the bill here, and I would encourage the fine senator from Laramie County to contact Department of Ed. My understanding is that if they move somewhere else in Wyoming and go back into school, they're going to pop up somewhere. And so they aren't going to be counted as dropout. If they go out of state, though, or, for instance, if they were even a little bit further advanced, say a junior, and they decide to, or a senior, and decide to finish up their senior year by getting a GED at a community college, then that may be a little bit more problematic. If they move out of state and go somewhere else to another high school in order to finish up, I really don't know how they track that and determine whether that's a dropout or not. I suspect that's going to make up a minority of the dropouts that we're really dealing with here. Also, as a sidelight, the department is working on a WISER ID number that would get at all those circumstances except for moving to Maine. If they did turn up somewhere else in Wyoming, the WISER ID would be used and be able to match them. But that program isn't quite in effect yet. With regard to the question of the school foundation account, you know, the LSO attorneys and the other folks that we've talked to indicate that there is not a constitutional problem with this. Remember, the only beneficiaries of this are going to be high school students. So school foundation money is still being used in order to get at students. Even if they've dropped out, they are still of a school-age population. So I really don't think that there's going to be that much of a problem constitutionally with using school foundation account money.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just to look at a different provision in the Constitution, we go to Article 7, Section 1. It says the legislature to provide for public schools. The legislature shall provide for the establishment and maintenance of a complete and uniform system of public instruction, embracing free elementary schools of every needed kind and grade, a university with such technical and professional departments as the public good may require and the means of the state allow, and such other institutions as may be necessary. I interpret that a little bit to mean community colleges as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment and then a question. I'm inclined to support the bill. I have some of the same reservations as my colleague from Natrona County. Frankly, I don't think we're devoting a whole lot of resource to this. It's not very much at all when you consider, you know, one singular proposal could eat up a third of what we're... part of my problem is I'm having a difficulty getting my mind around what these programs might look like. In my day job, I deal with students like this. We've got a program up in the center part of the state that for free and reduced lunch students. And I'm trying to, I guess I would like maybe a little discussion about what these programs might look like or what we're, I hope they work. I mean, I hope, because it's like I told this body before, I think we do have a problem with our dropout rate. I think it's something that we have to address. To get to my question, is there a standard way that our K-12 system identifies at-risk students? I mean, who are these students, and how are we going to get our hands on them? How do we know they're at risk? And then, you know, I guess then we can measure it, knowing that they might drop out. But that's a question I have.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill does specify that the commission will come up with a uniform definition of what at-risk is. That's over on page 4, lines 5 through 6. So, you know, at-risk can be defined in so many different ways. There is no specific term of art called at-risk in which is a specific definition. So that will probably be one of the biggest challenges for the commission. But they are going to come up with a standard definition for it in conjunction with the Department of Education so that everybody is on the same playing field. The $50,000 is the maximum award. As I mentioned, the idea is to encourage folks, especially a community college and several high schools, to collaborate to come up with something really innovative. The anticipation is that most of the requests are going to be around $15,000. So you're going to have 8 to 10 awards here, which is a pretty good pilot program in order to make some initial determinations on whether this is going to be good. And finally, the real emphasis on this entire program is innovation. And you're asking the wrong person to try to envision innovation. I am just so left-brained and analytical. I don't know how innovative I can be. But, you know, the list is over on page 3. And the idea is to come up with some good teachers, high school and community college teachers, use compressed video, get to these students in any way that you possibly can. Get to them in the community, get to them in the schools, get to them in the evenings, in the afternoons, and weekends. Come up with creative instruction, innovative ideas in advanced history, for instance, or innovative ideas in advanced astronomy in order to get at the at-risk students. Innovative ideas with regard to career technical opportunities that a high school may not offer that students are bored with and that they're looking for something particular. For instance, innovative ideas in computer technology that may not necessarily be available right now through a high school. And finally, one of the real nice byproducts, Mr. Chairman, of all this is that for those innovative partners, it's going to make the transition from high school to community college that much smoother. It's going to get those entities working more closely together than they already do. And it's going to begin getting teachers and students thinking more in terms of, gee, I just don't stop at high school. There's a whole other realm of education out there for me for trade and career technical education and other things that are going to challenge me that's important. And the statistics indicate they can't stop at high school. They've got to keep going after that in order to get additional learning.
All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 33, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. House Bill 33 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next Senator, or Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you,
Test one. Okay.
Don.
Thank you.
the Senate come back to order, please? Enough people on the floor? Senator Jennings? Okay, the next bill for our reading is next bill for our considerations, House Joint Resolution 8. Will the clerk please read it in?
House Joint Resolution Number 8, sponsored by Representative Wallace, Equine Resources, a joint resolution urging Congress to oppose federal legislation that interferes with a state's ability to direct the transport or processing of horses. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Geis, Jennings, Johnson, and Vasey. Senator Geis, Chairman.
Okay, you've heard the reading of this bill. It's time to quit horsing around with Senator Geis.
Chairman, when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, I move that H.J.R. 8 do pass. It's pertaining to the equine, or better known as horses and mules. If the federal government passes a law shutting down, we can't haul horses to Mexico or Canada, or we can't slaughter them here in the United States, I don't know what they're going to do with all them wild horses and all that stuff, or what we're going to do with all the other horses we have. So we've got the resolution passed in through the National Conference of State Legislature. They're going to lobby against the bill in Washington. There's two states that would love to build a place to handle horses. One of them is the state of Montana, and the other is the state of North Dakota. But if the federal government passes this law, then that shuts the state down. Right now, states can build one and do it. So I'm hoping that we'd pass this resolution, and that's all it is, to tell Congress that, hey, we got to do something about all these extra horses we've got in this nation, because we can't afford to feed them all. So I'd ask you a favorable vote on SJ08.
Any further discussion on House Joint Resolution 8? Seeing none, you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Geis' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Joint Resolution 8, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Joint Resolution 8 has been adopted by the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 255. Will the clerk please read it in?
House Bill Number 255, sponsored by Representative Harshman, School Districts, Kindergarten Programs, and Act Relating to School Districts. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Coe, DeCaria, Massey, Von Fladern. No, Senator Jennings, Senator Co-Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Chairman, moving to Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with the do pass recommendation on House Bill 255. There is a standing committee amendment. I ask that it be read in at this time.
Would the clerk read it in?
House Bill 255, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 2, line 1.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, move the standing committee amendment. As you can see, we had a little problem with some words in here, and we just had to go in and do a little correction. Ask for a favorable vote on the standing committee amendment.
Any further discussion on standing committee amendment number 1? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 255, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment has been adopted. Back on the bill, Senator Coe. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When it rains, it pours. But this is a pretty easy, straightforward bill. It deals with full-day kindergarten. In developing our basket of educational goods and services and what we're going to decide to fund, probably one of the most important elements is full-day kindergarten. Extensive research indicates that full-day kindergarten is probably one of the most substantial, not significant, but one of the most substantial factors in determining the future academic ability of students. We fund full-day kindergarten now through our funding model. However, we do not require it in statute. As folks will see on the bottom of page 1, we only require kindergarten. There are a couple school districts in the state that are not providing full-day kindergarten, even though we fund it. This bill just simply says that they will provide at least one class of full-day kindergarten. It still gives them discretion to offer less than full-day kindergarten if they wish, but parents will have a choice in throughout the state of a full-day kindergarten if that's what they choose for their children.
Any further discussion on House Bill 255? Seeing none. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 255, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
The chair is in doubt. With those, all those in favor of House Bill 255, please stand. All those opposed to House Bill 255, please stand. House Bill 255 has died, and according to, pursuant to Senate Rule 11.5, having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bebout, Burns, Case, Coe, Cooper, DeCaria, Dockstader, Esquibel, Geis, Hastert, Honeycutt, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Larson, Martin, Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Schiffer, Scott, Sessions, Townsend, Basie, Von Flatern, President Hines, Larson, no to I. Bebout is excused.
Excused.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 17 ayes, 12 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 255 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 240. Will the clerk please read it in?
House Bill number 240, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, Elected State Official Benefits, and Act relating to elected state officials. It was referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Massey, Nicholas, Peterson, Townsend. No, Senator Meyer, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Nicholas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation for House Bill 240. And there is an amendment. I'd ask that the reading clerk read in the Standing Committee Amendment.
House Bill number 240, Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 2. Page 2, line 1.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I move Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 24. Folks, the Management Council directed and asked the JAC to review, analyze, and propose new salary levels for our 5 elected officials. Constitution requires us to set those. The JAC in the white copy that you see came out and recommended for the governor $110,000, Secretary of State $97,000, and that for the other 4 elected officials. The House decided that the JAC was just far too conservative, and they raised it, the governor, to $152,000. And the other elected officials to 134. And knowing that there is a, if we're going to conference on this, and we're all about bargaining, so the, our committee recommended that we go to 105.92, which is more than what they're getting now by $500, but less than the JAC recs, and we'll go to conference. I'd urge your support of the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Nicholas' motion to adopt the Standing Committee number one amendment to House Bill 240, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Senator Nicholas, anybody else wish to speak? Seeing no further discussion, ready for the question. All those in favor? Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Coe.
Chairman, we don't even have to go to conference. We can kill this thing right now and not have to worry about it at all.
Any further discussion? Senator Nicholas.
Well, you know, maybe we never reach a number that's appropriate, but, you know, these people, they give up a lot to do these offices, and if you're trying to go out, find people in the middle of their lives, if it's kids in college, things like that, or you want the best quality people, you do have to pay. You don't have to pay too much. And it is true that it seems that they go from one job to the other job, and it's a career sort of thing. But having said that, it's time to take a look at it. I'd urge your support.
Further discussion. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, just for comparison's sake and so we get a sense of scale, could anybody tell me what the salary is of the president of the university or for the football coach?
I'm sure appropriations could possibly, but I don't see them jumping up at the moment. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, we actually request all those numbers, and in the other office we have all those numbers, and I'm not sure if it's appropriate to disclose that in a public place out loud.
Question. Senator Larson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you got to realize what's important.
Any further discussion on House Bill 240? Seeing none. All ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Nicholas' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 240, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 240 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 47. Will the clerk please read it in?
House Bill number 47, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, Commercial Signage on Highways, and Act Relating to Highway Signage. It was referred to Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, that reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, Landon, Von Fladern, Senator Von Fladern, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations, that reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas Peterson, Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
Heard the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Landon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When the Committee of the Whole rises to report, I would ask that it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 47 do pass. There is a standing committee amendment, Mr. Chairman, to House Bill 47. I would ask that it be read in at this time.
Do you want to do the bills first, Senator Landon, and read in the standing committee amendment after? We can have it read in if you'd like to.
Certainly can do that, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 47 essentially is going to allow the Wyoming Department of Transportation to get out of the day-to-day business of promotional signage, or as it is referred to in this piece of legislation, specific service signs. And if you have a question about what we're talking about there, if you've traveled with your family, those are the kind of signs that the kids look for in the back seat. And if you go by a certain Chinese restaurant sign, that's the exit that you have to take. Those are the promotional signs that promote businesses and places to stay. What this bill essentially is going to do, it creates a new paragraph under Romanet 6, which is located on page 3, to establish a program for specific service signage by a business or an attraction, and is going to allow the Department of Transportation to bid that process out to a private entity. It spells out, this also spells out the department duties. I'll walk you quickly through the bill. If you'll notice on page 2, that essentially is the conforming language referring to specific service. Under paragraph B, establishes a program under this section, and the department, through its rules and regulations, we're asking several things of the department that it set up this program for this specific service signage. If you move over to page 3 under Romanet 5, Chapter 2, Article 10, that's the agency portion of our statutes, administration and information, essentially how we do business in state government. That's the reference there. As I mentioned, Romanet 6, that's the section, that's where we go in and provide for the opportunity for the Department of Transportation to bid this process out. It would also allow the department to generate revenue out of this bidding procedure. Since this is a new venture on the part of Wyoming, of course we don't know what this is going to generate, but we have an idea that it might generate a little bit more revenue. You can see, you know, the breakdown of percentage. A certain percentage of that would obviously go to the private contractor, and a certain percentage would come to the Department of Transportation. To give, and we, over on page 4, you'll notice that we strike much of paragraph C. I would tell you that as it stands today, our Department of Transportation has been in this business. They take care of all the signage in the state of Wyoming. Right now, it costs you $100 to have one of those signs out there on the interstate to try to get folks to take that particular exit and come to your business. $100. To give you an idea of what's going on around the region, because we sometimes like to keep an eye on that, in Montana, a similar signage like that would cost you $2,376. One of those little ramp signs, which is a sign that once you've already taken the exit and you're deciding whether to turn left or right, there's a little sign right there. Most of the states have a rate for those signs too. And in Montana, those are $552 when you get off the ramp. In Nebraska, you'll pay $2,400 for one of those signs. In Utah, $1,680 for one of those signs, and in Colorado, $1,500. The point that I'm making is that the Department of Transportation has been eating the cost of these signs for a long, long time. It is time that we look at this. I like this bill a lot because it does provide for the fact that we can employ a private contractor to get out there and take care of this. This is not going to change the fact that the Department of Transportation will be taking care of our regulatory signs, our traffic signs. They're still going to be in that business. They're going to take care of all that. But it gets them out of the business of trying to get to businesses and promote filling up those special services signs. The standing committee amendment, Mr. Chairman, did we read that
in? We'll read that in now.
Okay, thank you.
House Bill number 47, Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 6.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In committee, we adopted this amendment.
Move the amendment.
Thank you. I would move Standing Committee Amendment 1 to House Bill 47. And by way of explanation, in committee, we adopted this amendment. I think you will see in subsequent action we will have an opportunity to discuss that, but I would call for the question.
We're on Standing Committee number 1 to House Bill 47. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Landon's motion to adopt Standing Committee number 1 to House Bill 47, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask that the committee, the whole amendment, number one to House Bill 47 be read in at this time.
House Bill number 47, Committee of the Whole Amendment number one to engrossed copy, page one, line six.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that amendment. As you can see, we've decided that that would not be a good idea to repeal the application for signage on Main Street and historic sites. That's something that needs to stay in this bill. So I would ask for your favorable consideration on Committee of the Whole Amendment number one.
We're on Committee of the Whole Amendment number one. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole number one amendment, Senator Landon's motion to adopt the standing Committee of the Whole Amendment number one to House Bill 47, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That amendment's been adopted. We're back on the bill. Further discussion on House Bill 47? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, on and against this bill, it may make some money for the State Highway Fund, considering how much money goes in the State Highway Fund. Maybe every little bit helps, but I don't know how much, and this may help the Highway Fund, but I don't know how much it helps Wyoming. We've all stood up and mentioned at one time or another our favorite little restaurant or our favorite little shop or our favorite little coffee shop. We all have them. This is a very small state with small towns. When you're charging a set of fees for those signs along the highway, who do you think is going to buy that space up? It's going to be the franchises. It's going to be the big companies. And that will take business away from the small mom-and-pop businesses, the small independent companies. Now, if we want Wyoming to be as homogenized as any Midwestern state, then yeah, we should go ahead and pass this bill. Because every highway sign we're going to see is going to be just franchises where you can get a foil-wrapped burger that's been sitting under an infrared light for the last 3 hours. This is definitely a step in that direction, and I think passing this bill would probably cause a number of small mom-and-pop shops to just die out. You know, times are tough anyway. Now, the bill's a little bit less bad with the Main Street program taken out, removed from the bill, but where we've put tons of money into the Main Street programs, we're putting tons more in this year into the Main Street program. What businesses are going to be on those Main Streets? That's not where the franchises go. They go out to the Dell Ranges. They go out to the Coffee and Avenues. They go out to the Highway 59 South. They're not downtown. Go to a lot of the small downtowns in this state, and you see the second-rate stores there. You see the consignment stores, a lot of nonprofits. You see the same thing right downtown here. This is a downtown that's in trouble down here. And we're going to be contributing to it if we put this bill in here.
Senator Von Platen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Every exit in every little town has their downtown exit. They have their Dell Range exits. And in Gillette, we have our Highway 59 exit. It is true that the fast food places will probably grab the Dell Range exits, and they'll grab my Highway 59 exit in my town. But my downtown exit or the Lincoln Way exit here is up for debate. Who's going to take that? Is somebody that's one of the fast foods clear on the east side of town here going to try to get you to drive 3 miles off this exit? Or is it going to be the local coffee shop who can bid that sign for $100? Or he can bid it for $5,000 if that's what it's driven up to. But what we're saying is we are now telling the first come, first serve in this case, and as this business, this ma and pa goes out of business, it's still up for $100. And, of course, if that's the exit for the fast food place, that's who's going to grab it for $100. So now we got $100 out of somebody that we're giving the most choice advertising spot to. If you think about it, you're driving across country, you're getting towards lunch hour, you're looking on the exit, and it says 0.6 of a mile this next exit to one of the fast foods. That's probably the one you're going to grab. Or if it says Ma and Pa Deli, 0.6, and it's on that official highway sign, that's what you're going to probably use. You're not going to probably go by that billboard that was 3 miles back have sort of promised something. You never heard of them. But if they're on this sign and it says next exit, 0.6 to the right or the left, that's probably where you're going. What we're saying to the highway department is, why not make some money off of this as every other state does? South Carolina, North Carolina, I might have one of my states mixed up, but it was worth about $2 million to them in extra revenue. Right now, we maintain them. We charge the first customer that puts the little placard on there. They pay the total initial construction cost, and everybody else gets on there for $100. Now, if you want to put an amendment on here that says it shall not exceed this cost, or, you know, some amount of money, so it'll be a first-come, first-served basis, then we could probably do that. But once again, the rest of the residents, citizens of the state, are not getting the benefit of that. And that is the most choice advertising spot. We should be getting a little bit of money. We should be putting it back into the roads and probably taking care of things like other traffic signs that are now coming out of your highway funds. And this goes right into the highway funds. I ask for your support of this bill.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, where would we find the regulations, the size regulations, and some of the things under which this would be, these contracts would be let, or what do we use now? Thank
you. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator, that that particular, that would be handled under the rules and regulations portion on page 2. Several states have much bigger signs than what you'll see in Wyoming, and we would just leave that up to the Department of Transportation in working with that bidding process and setting that all up.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, all due respect to the Chairman of the Transportation Committee, you go on the highway, let's say in this town, and there are more exits that have a particular fast food franchise that happens to sell a quarter pound hamburger than don't. It doesn't matter where you go anymore. And what I'm saying is, and what I'm concerned about with this bill is for the sake of the almighty dollar to the highway fund, and I can't recall how many hundreds of millions of dollars are in the highway fund, we're going to lose what's unique to this state, to the state of Wyoming. As a matter of fact, in the gentleman's hometown on Highway 59, there is one of those franchises off 59 that happens to have arches on its sign, owned by a very good friend of mine. But right across the street is a mom-and-pop Mexican place. It's the only restaurant they own. They cannot afford to pay for one of those highway signs along the road. And if you like those little, if you don't like those little individually owned independent businesses, then by all means vote for this bill, because you're just putting another nail in their coffins.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the comments from our senator from Sheridan, and we talked about this during the interim. I think the beauty of this bill is that it does not automatically do that. There's a lot of small communities up along our interstate highways, and quite frankly, the 6 or 8 spots that are available on those sign opportunities are not filled up. And I agree with the chairman of our transportation committee. The fact is, in many cases, this might not drive the cost way up there, but it does allow for somebody to take care of that business. The Department of Transportation doesn't have time to go out there and visit with all of these potential business sponsors, and it is a prime advertising spot. We can continue to subsidize it because $100 is not paying for what it takes to put those signs out there. We can subsidize it, or we can put a program in place that makes it some free market and involves the private sector.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Oh. You know, when I read this bill, I didn't think I had a conflict. But after listening to the debate, I think I do. but, you know, it's a Wyoming company. It's a franchise company in Wyoming, but unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, I have to declare conflict.
So noted. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm wondering if the sponsors, the Transportation Committee, could tell me how many feet of pavement you're going to build if we take these signs away from the small local businesses.
Senator Von Platen.
Was that in metric terms, or did you want it in British? It's about $300,000, and if that's a quarter mile of road, it's a quarter mile of road. But I can tell you it's a lot of signage, it's a lot of stoplights. There is no evidence that the Ma and Pa's own all these signs to begin with. This particular family-owned Mexican restaurant and fabulous food doesn't advertise. They have no signage other than what it's at their place and occasionally in the newspaper. Are we affecting them? Probably not. Are we affecting the coffee shop downtown? If they're relying on the highway traffic to come into town, their business plan's flawed. So with that in mind, why aren't people willing to pay to use our highways to build their business and have us not allow that by saying we're going to do it to a select group, we're going to lose money while we do it, and we're going to make sure that that Ma and Pa kettle, for lack of a better word, thinking of restaurants, is going to be able to use these signs only. Right now, I doubt they are. But it's very cheap. It's $100. And you're talking, yes, multi-million dollar outfits, putting them on. Even locally owned, Wyoming State locally owned corporations are using them. And they should be. And they should be paying some money for it because it is boosting their business.
Senator Coe.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Just one statement. I would hope we would not pass a fee increase bill because other states are doing something else. I think we ought to think about the people of Wyoming.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, maybe it's a dumb question, but why can't they just raise the price that they're charging?
Any more questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Landon's motion on House Bill 47, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
Would the ayes please stand up? Noes, please stand. House Bill 47 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I
move that the Committee of the Whole stand and report. Rise and report.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Reading, clerk will read the committee the whole report.
Mr. President, your committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. House Bill 215, do pass. House Bill 39, do pass amended. House Bill 281, do pass amended. House Bill 173, do pass. House Bill 97, do pass amended. House Bill 236, do pass amended. House Bill 134, do pass amended. House Bill 183, do pass amended. House Bill 33, do pass amended. House Joint Resolution 8, do pass. House Bill 255, do pass amended. House Bill 240, do pass amended. And House Bill 47, do pass amended. Senator Von Platen, Chairman.
Senator Von Platen.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Report is adopted. We have concurrences. Senator Peterson, are you ready on message 399?
I am, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk read the message?
February the 24th, 2009, from the House of Representatives. Message number 399, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 105, Weed and Pest Control District's Unfair Competition. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 50, noes 8, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Fellow Senators, first of all, I guess I would move message number 399. The Senate file number 105, this is the Weed and Pest Control District's Unfair Competition. Fellow Senators, basically what the House did on second reading over there is mess with it a little bit, and they found out after their second reading that the Weed and Pest Districts were alive and well around the state as the phones lit up and the emails lit up, and on third reading they saw the error of their ways and repented from their errors and came back to the light. So, Mr. President, I would ask the body to concur and vote aye with the concurrence that came back to us in great shape the way we sent it over there, and I'd ask the body to vote aye.
The motion that the Senate do concur on Senate File 105, Message 399, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Blandin.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 105. Joint Conference Committee report. Senator Scott, are you ready on message 323?
Yes, Mr. President.
Reading clerk, please read in the message.
Joint Conference Committee report, Senate File 117, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act eligibility. Reference House message number 323. Signing for the House of Representatives. Representative Landon, Chairman, Representatives Hellinan and Shepperson. Signing for the Senate, Senator Scott, Chairman, Senators Case and Esquibel.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this is the bill where we allowed people into the uninsurable pool who could not, whose group coverage was more expensive than the pool coverage. That's the policy we currently have for the individual insurance policies, and we're applying that to the group policy because we're starting to find places where it was applicable. The House did two things. They introduced a restriction that the plan enrollment didn't exceed 95% of the maximum capacity, which is defined. That was probably wise. They did it in a way that could have caused people to go in and out of eligibility and would have caused trouble. So what we did was we got them to agree to say at the time of enrollment. So this restriction applies at the time of enrollment. And once you're in, then you're in. That makes more sense in health insurance, which takes time to obtain. They also had a technical error in the way they numbered things, and we fixed that. And then the House said that, unlike the individual insurance situation, that the policy would have to cost 20% more. That would have defeated a good part of the purpose of the bill. We went back and forth with them, and we compromised at 12.5%. I think that's a reasonable compromise. I would urge the Senate to adopt this. I believe I did move to adopt this. If I didn't, I don't now. I move that we adopt this joint conference report.
The motion is that Senate do adopt joint conference committee report number one, reference to House Senate file 117, message 323, and ask you to vote aye. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Basie.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee report on message 323, reference to Senate file 117. Reports from standing committees.
February the 24th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 184, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Larson, Martin, Perkins, and Schiffer. Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Signing of enrolled acts. Senate Enrolled Act number 34.
Senate Enrolled Act number 34, being original Senate file 62.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 34, being original Senate file number 62. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 35.
Senate Enrolled Act number 35, being original Senate file 95.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 35, being original Senate file number 95. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 36.
Senate Enrolled Act number 36, being original Senate file 6.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 36, being original Senate file number 6. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 37.
Senate Enrolled Act number 37, being original Senate file 82.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 37, being original Senate file number 82. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 38.
Senate Enrolled Act number 38 being original Senate File 2.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 38 being original Senate File number 2. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 39.
Senate Enrolled Act number 39 being original Senate File 45.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 39, being original Senate File number 45. I have so signed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate be adjourned until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet at 7:30 tomorrow morning in the regular committee room. House Bill 298, Medical Practice Act Revisions. Committee, please note 7:30 a.m.
Senator Von Vladeren.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow, 10 minutes after adjournment in S-13, to consider House Bill 191, Engross Motor Carrier Transportation Contracts. We will also be discussing interim topics. And, Mr. President, we will be doing phone interviews tomorrow, Wednesday, in room S-14 at lunch recess to interview two positions for the Highway Commission.
Senator Cove.
Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock over in S-11 by the Smoking Lounge to continue work on House Bill 249, Engross Public Education Accountability, and House Bill 108, Engross Student Activities Participation Fees, and also for the benefit of the members of the Senate Education. House Education is meeting tomorrow upon adjournment on H-10 to discuss interim topics.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet upon adjournment to consider the following bills. What day is today? I've been doing too many meetings. I can't keep track of anything. Okay, upon adjournment, we're going to meet House Bill 213, Engross, Rangeland Monitoring, House Bill 54, Engross, Workers' Compensation Amendments, House Bill 68, Engross, Property Tax, Homestead Exemption. If we have time, Mr. President, we will continue to work on House Bill 299 and Grow School Facilities Budget Process. The committee then will meet, our committee members, you received a notice that we'll meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow to go over the House amendments to the budget. We'll actually do that at 8:15, so to accommodate one of the members' schedules. Then at 1 o'clock, we will consider the following bills in S-13. House Bill 161, Serve Wyoming. House Bill 295, Engross Western States Energy Environmental Symposium. And upon adjournment tomorrow, we'll consider a House Bill 146, Engross Emergency Medical Services Sustainability Trust. House Bill 294, Engross Prescription Drug Database. And if we had a bill that was sent to us today, we may consider that, Mr. President. So, if you've got a bill with us, be talking to us. Remember, re-referrals do not require a day notice, so we can get them up just as if they get to us. Thank you.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, February 25th at noon recess in S-1 to discuss interim topics.
Senator Schiffer.
President, Revenue Committee number 3 will meet up in the corner veranda room immediately upon adjournment to finish our discussions on House Bill 234, Property Tax Assessed Value.
Senator Case.
President, your Select Committee on Tribal Relations will meet at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning in S-19 to discuss interim topics. That's the Corporations Room upstairs.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, Water Resources, will meet up on adjournment to discuss interim topics, and then also a conference committee. We're going to meet on message 340 right after that.
You've heard the motion. The Senate shall stand adjourned until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, Wednesday, February 25th. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.